Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Man, if you have your Bibles with you, which I pray you do, if you don't have a Bible with you, you are swordless, okay? Don't forget that. The only offensive weapon as followers of Jesus Christ that we have is the Word of God. It is living, it is active, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow. What does that say? If we're out of step with God's Word, it will lay it bare, and what happens? Salt. What does salt do? It heals. You put your feet in Epsom salt when you have something wrong with them, don't you? So think about that. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. So when we get cut spiritually, the healing property of salt, we're the salt of the earth. So it heals and God grows us. And what he's doing is prepping our hearts. He's tilling up our hearts even tonight to begin new growth. And the things that need to be dealt with tonight, I pray that the Spirit of God lays bare those issues, but most importantly, that we will in obedience yield to whatever the plan and purpose that God has for our life. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 12. Again, one verse, verse 9 tonight. Again, message titled, The Unknown Wise Man. This message really speaks, I say this a lot, I really do. I love Proverbs. It's wisdom literature. Wisdom for what? Truly, Proverbs has wisdom for everything. Why do I always say it even speaks to honey? Because when Proverbs tells you, don't eat too much of it, or you will throw it up, try it and find out if Proverbs is 100% right all the time. It is. You know what else it says? Don't go to your neighbor's house too much. You'll wear out your welcome. Well, there's no way. We like each other. Go and try it. Find out. Find out if Proverbs is right or you think that you're going to beat the odds. You're not going to beat the odds because God's word is truth. Proverbs is wisdom literature. And tonight, again, we're going to see the picture of the unknown wise man tonight. I hope you found Proverbs 12, just the one verse, verse 9. And if you're able physically tonight, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Better to be dishonored, yet have a servant, than to act important, but have no food. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. God, we know that your word is life. We know that it does not return void, but accomplishes what it was sent to accomplish. Father, hide me behind the cross tonight, Lord, so that you might move in our hearts as only you can. God, you are the only source of salvation. Father, you're the only one that can shake the foundations of our hearts, our lives, and bring us into the perfect place, the perfect will and plan that you have for our life. God, if there's one tonight that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would open their hearts and help them understand the fact that there is no other name under heaven by which a man must be saved, and that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, until we understand that we are sinners, there is no ability to reach out for the redemptive hand of Jesus Christ through salvation. But Father, we know that you can do that, and we claim that tonight, God, and we ask this all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Better to be dishonored, yet have a servant. Now, it's basically, there's other, let me show you what the other, there's another, let's see, there's another version that says in verse 9, better to be a nobody and yet have a servant. So what it's basically saying is you have these two pictures. You have someone who is a nobody, someone dishonored, and then you have a person who is pretending to be someone who is not. Now, have you ever heard the story about, I forget what the guy pretended to be, but he pretended to be some royalty. And he had the name and everything, and I mean, he knew how to talk. As a matter of fact, this dude really, banks all know about this guy. This dude was slick. I don't remember what the name was he claimed. You remember that? It was some whatever royalty name from, you know, over in England, Europe, somewhere over there. But this guy flat out just bilked people all over the world. He was really good at what he did. But you know what? Honestly, he was nobody. He was a nobody. And he was so much of a nobody that he decided to become a somebody. But when the whole entire scheme was undone, what it ultimately, it's just like the movie Catch Me If You Can, Leonardo DiCaprio. True story. Leonardo DiCaprio was a nobody. And what did he do? He purported to be a somebody. By the way, he did pass the law. He did pass the bar in Louisiana. It blew their minds how he's able to do it. He didn't cheat. He actually did it. He was very intelligent. And that's what a lot of those criminals are, extremely intelligent people. They're just misdirected in the application of their life choices. We know about that. But the first thing out of that first part of the verse tonight I want to share with you is this. Be the blessed nobody. Now, why do I say that? Because the blessed nobody is somebody. We forget that. I think especially the younger folks believe that truly money's the fix to their problems. And I think a lot of people struggle with that even into their older years. I can give you an object lesson in that you can take home as homework tomorrow. So tomorrow's Thursday. Wait till Friday. Go and sit in front of any convenience store in our county on Friday afternoon and sit there and watch the lottery tickets go out the door. As a matter of fact, they're so excited, most of them can't get out of the parking lot without scratching them. I've watched people literally buy reams of those things, only to throw them out the window and drive off. They're thinking that if they hit the big one, that they're finally going to get this peace, they're going to get to this place that they dream, this utopia of a life, where they'll finally have this fulfillment. They will truly experience what they're longing for. There's only one problem. Watch the TV shows about the lottery winners. Everybody knows the guy that won it that had the big cowboy hat. If you have any memory at all, you remember what he looks like. You don't even maybe remember his name. He had big glasses, and he had a big old cowboy hat and a big 1,000-watt smile. Won the biggest one at that point in United States history. At the end of things, his granddaughter had overdosed on drugs. He lost $100,000 at a place where closing's optional at times. He accidentally left it in the back of his car and forgot to lock it. He left it in the trunk. Somebody just mysteriously ended up getting $100,000 in cash out of his trunk that he'd forgotten to lock the car. He lost it all. He died a few years ago. Remember this now. But it destroyed his family. He built a church right after it happened because he was going to do great things. I watched a big, long documentary about it. But there's one recurring theme with these things, and when these people win, in the majority of cases, they go crazy. They begin to believe that there's something that they're not, because everybody all of a sudden is willing to extend huge amounts of credit to them. Why do you need credit? Well, because the money didn't come right away. It takes a little bit of time, and all of a sudden you're buying, and you're buying, and you're buying, and what happens? Guess what? It's not unlimited. And if you're not wise with it, you're going to end up broke. See, if you and I would get the concept of understanding that money is a wicked taskmaster, I say that for a reason, because it is. Money is not in and of itself inherently wrong. Please understand what I'm saying. Some people get it wrong and they say money is the root of all evil. When they say that, that is mischaracterization and out of context completely of what Scripture says. The Bible actually says the love of money is the root of all evil. That little four-letter word, L-O-V-E, is the problem area in that. Again, I know some extremely wealthy followers of Jesus Christ who use their money to glorify the Lord. And matter of fact, if you met most of them on the street, you'd think they were broke. You know why? Because the money does not define who they are. It is merely something that God's entrusted them with. And it's so awesome because they'll sit there and have a conversation with you like you're anybody else. But I've known the other side of them too. They go in there, and I've known many that'll go into some place and, well, you know who I am, don't you? Well, I'll tell you one thing, you don't ever want to tell me that. Because I really don't care who you are. I'm not going to treat you any better because you've got $100 million or you don't have 3 cents. Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt when you stand before God one day, guess what? We're square with the house. Broke or rich, you're going to stand before the what? Hopefully the Bema's mercy seat of the Lord and not the great white throne of judgment, because if you are, I won't see you. We won't be in fellowship at that point. You want to be in the mercy seat before the mercy seat and not standing before the great white throne of judgment trying to explain to God how your intentions were so good with all the money that you had. And by the way, hey, after I died, when most of it was going to be used, God, I bet it's really doing big things for you now. Works. Matter of fact, it was a very rich man that said something that I'll never forget. He said, I don't know why in the world that people leave money to people down the road to do wonderful things for the Lord with. Why don't you do it while you're alive and watch God use it and be a part of watching it get used? Well, that's powerful, isn't it? It's true. See, be the blessed nobody. Be a nobody. It doesn't matter if the world knows your name. Because what matters is that the world knows the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's the name above all names, the only name that matters. You don't want your name in lights, you want the name of Christ that lights your way, that goes before you. That's what you want. I've been listening to this praise and worship, I guess they've been around a while, but man, I'll tell you what, St. Eddie went about 3 o'clock this morning. Got Eddie in a heart of worship this morning. Early. But his name's Shane and Shane. I don't know if it's just a joke or what, but they might both be named Shane. They don't look like, you know, a big Hollywood made-up worship. I'm going to tell you one thing. Boy, they'll knock it out, friends. They sing scripture verses, and it will flat transport you into the presence of the Lord. I watched one of the videos where they're actually singing it, and I said, I'm going to tell you what, they are real. He's up there with his Bible read. Oh, my goodness gracious, man. Powerful. I think it's the Psalm 90 or 93 one. Whew! Incredible. They are genuine. They love Jesus Christ, and you can tell they don't care what you think. They care about the name above all names. They're not up there just to sound pretty. They're up there reading word for word God's word, and they're singing it. I think one of those, Brother Charles, one that Kevin sang to Jessica as they were coming down the aisle. Fairest of something. Wow, it was powerful. I'm not joking. It was incredible. He was playing the guitar. He was playing the bass. The other guy was playing the guitar. And Kevin then sang that as his wife, getting ready to be wife, came up the aisle. It was awesome. Wasn't many dry eyes in the place. Incredible praise and worship song. But what I'm saying about this is to tell you, I could see the character in the heart of Shane and Shane, though I don't even know who they are. It is a genuine act of worship in the music that they are lifting up to the Lord as a sacrifice of worship. And by the way, we just happened to look up how much it costs to go to one of their concerts. About half of what it is to go anywhere else. You can really tell that they're not doing this. And guess where the majority of the places they're playing is? churches. We're going to try to get them around here. Huh? Anybody else heard them? Miss Linda, I know you've heard them. Lori? Shane and Shane. You'll have one in your text tonight. Lori's going to be in worship tonight. She'll have you up till 3 a.m. Amen. But you want to be the blessed nobody. You don't want to be that person that's running around so that everybody knows who you are, building your kingdom in your flock. No, you want to build the singular kingdom of heaven, and you want it to be in a way so that all glory, it goes to the place that it should go. That you and I, as Michael W. Smith's song, "Oh, you be lifted high in my life, O Lord, as I drop to my knees, so it's you that they see, not I. Jesus, you be lifted high." Is that your heart song? Is your heart song that God would be glorified and the devil horrified? Or is your heart song one of, well, I just want to get there so I can do good things? That's so full of self, you can't even see it. You'll trip over yourself until you finally realize that it's all about you. It's not about him, it's about you. And when it stops becoming about us is when it can become about him. And until it stops becoming about us, it will never become about him. Be the blessed nobody, because the blessed nobody is somebody. The second part of that verse: better be a nobody yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. Or as the other version said, better to be dishonored yet have a servant than to act important but have no food. Both things say the same, but second thing I want to share, that's the final thing tonight, is the mirage of wealth hides poverty. Now, they used to have a saying back many years ago, I don't know if he's even the same now, these call them ballers. Those are people that purported to be somebody, but they were nobody. They drove a real nice car that was borrowed or it was rented, and they would go out in town with a rented outfit, or there was the one thing they may have spent some money on, but it's all they had, but they would go out and pretend to be something they were not, to become friends with people that they hoped they could latch on to and get something from them to become what they thought they were. Many years ago, we had friends across the street had a business, and he had one of these guys that I guess was just a friend. He comes in one day and has a brand new Dodge, big old, beautiful, brand new Dodge diesel truck. Young kid, he's like about 23 or 4. I was like, wow, this dude's hitting a lick. Then the next time he came in, he comes in a brand new car, pulling some jet skis with a truck. I'm like, wow, this guy's got it going on. Comes in with, it was just one thing after another, motorcycles and all. And I'm like, this dude might be rolling some stuff he shouldn't be messing with. This dude's got way more stuff than this kid ever should have by the time he's about 40 or 50s when you should start rolling in some things like this, you know? It wasn't a few months later. He came in a car, couldn't have been worth about $300. You know what he'd done? Because I finally went, what happened to all this stuff? The guy said, oh, they would give him credit everywhere and bought everything. He couldn't pay for any of it. But he had a real good 3 or 4 months. Answered my question, didn't it? He pretended to be somebody, but he was a nobody, hoping that somebody would think he was someone. But see, that mirage of wealth was nothing more than a deceptive thing that was hiding his poverty. And you know how many times you're rolling in somewhere, and you see somebody in one of those big Infiniti G whatevers they are, the big SUV, and if you know anything about them, they're about $70,000. Well, you don't have to be real smart. I'm not real smart. Let's just do that and pretend that they don't charge any interest at all, and out the door you get $70,000. Let's say that they'll do 70. By the way, somebody told me to do 96 months. That's $972 a month. Are you crazy? I didn't figure no interest in, friends. You hear what I'm finding out about these new pickup trucks? They're pushing over $100,000 with some of them now. Josh probably tell you exactly what it is because he's a real car person. Some are over $100,000. I'm sorry, but listen, when they start doing 30-year mortgages on cars, I'm still not going to do it. But when I see, listen, but when I see someone in that, I'm sitting there going, I don't know where they're working, but I don't, maybe I need to get rid of 9 kids then, right? I guess maybe I could buy half of one. How in the world can somebody pay $600, $700, $800, $900 a month for a car payment? We got 2 new ones. What am I missing out on? That stimulus check came one time to us. Y'all getting one every month? Right. Where does that come from? See, I met a man one time who, he dealt a lot in cars. Let's just say that, because I don't want to give the guy away. And I was just having a chat with him about some really nice cars that were inside of his shop that day. And I said, dude, this thing's hit a lick right here. He goes, oh, yeah, this guy and his wife, they can't pay for it. He said, they figured out a way. There's some financing deal where they finance it for like some odd ridiculous 96 months or something, and they pay this really small, and then they trade it. And I said, well, what about being upside down? He said, they don't worry. They just tack it on the next one. They just do it. They do it. And you know what being upside down is? They're not even upside down. They're rolled over about 9 times. But see, the desire to present themselves as someone has overridden the logic. And see what they're saying? In your mindset at that point has to be this. I'm not worried about my kids' college. I'm not worried about what happens 5 or 10 years from now. Hey, the Bible says it, doesn't it? Don't worry about tomorrow. It's got enough worries of its own. Might as well go to the Lexus dealership and have them pop you for about 120. Might as well, right? Because God will take care of the rest. No, that's actually being foolish. It's being foolish because whenever you do that, I got a question for you. When we do our Alaskan mission trip, you going to be able to go? Nope, sorry, because if I don't meet every single day at my office, I will never be able to pay for the things that I have, and the man comes with the truck on the rollback, and my car's gone. So sorry, I can't serve the Lord. I've had to cash my vacation in every year. They just give me that, and then I work, so I get double pay because I got to catch up on some of my bills. Do you want to let the Lord give you the ability to master what he's blessed you with, or do you want it to master you? The Bible says, borrower is the slave to the lender. Now, I'm not one that believes you shouldn't have a mortgage. That's one of those things you don't have a choice. Amen? Oh, rest of y'all have your house paid off. Fine, I'm not. Ours isn't, and that's fine. The rest of you enjoy your no mortgage. But that's one of those things you really can't, you don't have a choice. But don't get yourself in a mess so that you can't ever serve the Lord and ever be available if God so opens a door to go do some ministry because you've choked yourself with so much of this trying to impress everyone with what you're looking like driving your house. You know, oh no, we're gonna do a $40,000 remodel because everything's gotten quite dated. Well, that's called the retro look. Embrace it. Don't go out there and spend a bunch of money and get yourself in trouble because you can't wait. Do it like me. Wait till it goes on sale. We're still on plywood at the house, friends. Come and see. It's getting nice and shiny. It's actually getting so shiny, I'm about to put some polyurethane over it, and that's going to be our floors. Amen. Oh, me. She just said, now you all understand what the oh, me's for, what I say. But see, delayed gratification keeps you at a place where you don't become a slave to your possessions. You're able to own them and them not own you. You're able to be in a place where if God so opens your door and dumps a handful of people in there, by God's grace, food pantry, and the things that God provides with, you're able to be fine. You don't have to worry. But if you got Nissan Motor Credit, Infiniti Motor Credit, Honda Motor Credit, Lexus Motor Credit, Subaru Motor Credit, and every other one, for that matter, knocking on the door every month saying, hey, where's my 680? And they try to explain what a good deal you got on it. And by the way, the new car smell wore off a long time ago. It's not so fun anymore. But see, the unknown wise man keeps his possessions in the proper perspective recognizing that everything that he has is an avenue with which to glorify and honor Christ Jesus. You know what he recognized? They recognized that all of this other stuff is fleeting. And boy, in 1989, boy, that Beretta was a good-looking car. You've heard me say that one before, and I think it resonates. Just like a Pinto was in the early 80s till you got popped in the back end and the thing caught on fire, right? You know that there really was a time that the Pinto was a nice car? For the first 3 or 4 months, maybe? The same way that a Yugo GLX, GVL, it was a GVL, there's GLX, there's about 5 different models. Oh, those were nice! He drove one. They had all-wheel drive in some of them. I'm serious. Oh, man. What about the AMC Pacers? What about the Concord, family car of the century? Oh, the Pontiac. No, listen now. The Pontiac Fiero, the nice one, there was the 2 models. That one is worth super big money right now. The nice one, the GT. Fiero GT, big bucks right now. Chevette, yep. I mean, big time. Tim Key's got original diesel he bought brand new. Still has it under his carport. There was a lot of cars that were really nice at one point or another. You know, you can buy an old Rolls Royce now in the 80s for real cheap. You can buy them for about $9,000 to $15,000. They're really good cars. But they're not as nice as those new ones. You know, you're buying a however old car. If that's your forte, God's giving you the money, more power to you. Nothing inherently wrong with buying a quality vehicle. It's within your budget, and that's your forte. Go for it. Hey, if something breaks on, don't talk to me when you're crying. Because they have to manufacture a part somewhere for you. Be the unknown wise man. Live within the bounds of what God, the means that God's given you. Now, it doesn't mean that if the bank says you can buy a house for, Emily and I went the first time, they said we could buy something it was right at $100,000, $111,000, if I remember correctly. It was right in there. You know how much our first house was? You ready? $38,900 in Nashville. $38,900 was our first house. Imagine buying that now. Remember now when I was telling you that. We could have financed over $100,000. Why? Because the borrower is a slave to the lender. Don't forget that. The unknown wise man is wise with what God gives them, allowing the blessings that God gives them to be used for his glory, to be used for his plans and his purposes. We don't worry about tomorrow, but we're being wise with our money. Why? Because we want to be faithful when we stand before the Lord one day with the resources God's given us. You want to teach your children. Big problem right now, church. We got a culture right now that thinks that everything, hey, just showing up, I should get money for showing up at work. Anybody else understand what I'm talking about? It's all over the place right now. Hey, man, you got a warm body that showed up. What's wrong with you thinking that I should do something? I mean, you're paying me just to be here. This is a true phenomenon right now. I have business owners I talk to continually. They're so frustrated. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do because people don't want to work, they say. Oh, somebody will say, oh, it's because you're not paying them enough. Oh, don't tell me nothing. Don't even start with me with that stuff. But see, why don't we go back to the biblical model? What does the Bible say? Person that doesn't work, shouldn't. Oh my, what a great principle. Amen. You know what's so amazing about that? What is a great motivator? Hunger. When you get hungry and I get hungry, what's that make you want to do? Start stirring the old bones to find something to put in your belly. But what happens if you feed the bears at the national park, church, tell me. They stop hunting and they stop looking for food. Why? Because why in the world would I go out there and look for food if it's going to be given to me? That ultimately is where the issue lies in personal responsibility with every single one. Are we going to be the unknown wise man? Or are we going to sit back and expect everyone to give us what God says personally we should go out there By the way, before the fall, what was Adam and Eve's chief responsibility? Taking care of the garden. Tending what God had given them. Did God say, hey man, y'all just hang out over there and do whatever you want to do. The food's going to come to you. No. They had to work. They had to go and pick. Wait a minute, wasn't work occur? No. Work was the fulfillment in tending what God had given them. The additional benefit of sin brought weeds, toil, heartache, and sorrow. That was a joyous experience before, because you know what they were able to do? Go out there and work the soil and enjoy the benefits of what God had blessed them with. Be a blessed nobody, because the blessed nobody is somebody. Be a person that gets things in your life in the proper perspective. Don't see money as a way to give you some kind of freedom or some kind of life that is just right out of your grasp right now. No. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, from the Lord of love, that does not change like shifting shadows. So, if you don't have anything right now, you've got, unless there's sin preventing you from having what God wanted you to have, you've got what God wanted you to have. So learn to be thankful for what God's given you. Be thankful for the blessings that God has given you, whether you think they're what you deserve or not. Thank God for the house you have that might not look so hot when people drive up and you go, I'm embarrassed to my house. Don't be embarrassed to your house. Pick up the trash, do whatever you got to do to make it look halfway respectable, but don't be ashamed of the blessing God gave you, because if you are ashamed of the blessing he's given you, do you think he'll ever give you anything else? Thank you. So love that house. Don't worship that house, but what I'm saying is make that house something that you're able to say, you know what, God's blessed us. It's not huge, it's not some grand mansion, but it is the blessing of God, and I am thankful for my blessing, and I want to be faithful with my blessing. Because I know, as a follower of Jesus Christ, do I worship my vehicles? No, I want to take care of them. No. I want them to run 300,000 or 400,000 miles. My truck out there's got 250,000 miles on it, runs like a dream. I don't care about a brand new truck getting out there and smelling that new leather, whatever else it might do. The only thing I could choose, if God said, what would you have, is just make it drive itself. That's the only thing that I would change. I'm not caring about the rest of the stuff, though, church. You know why? The brand new technology right this minute in 5 years is going to be worthless. It'll be worthless. So when you and I get so caught in it that we say, we've got to have it, what are we doing? We're toiling, chasing the wind. The wind. Because you know what's going to happen in 5 years? Oh, we're going to want the next one. You know it's designed like that? You know this? It's systematically designed like that because it gets you and I, when we get caught in that loop, to spend, 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 spend. But you know what it does? It keeps our perspective spiritually warped, and it keeps us from ever finding that place of ministry, that place of perfect peace and rest. My parents taught me growing up. My parents never spent over $1,000 for a car my whole childhood because they didn't have the money to do it. They passionately referred to the cars we drove as I was young as bombs. If y'all know what I'm talking about. They were called bombs back then because they were total jalopies. They were way out of date. I didn't know that. Hey, I didn't know. Those cars drove, and it got us where we needed to go. And I never thought, Pop, we need to get a new car. Never was a thought to me. But you know what it did? It taught me perspective. My parents taught me perspective. My mother used to go once a month. You ready for this? We didn't have UGO. You wouldn't have had a job. He wouldn't have had a job. Lisa, y'all, they had a man had a shed behind his house in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, the metal sheds, you remember the metal ones? The two doors that opened up, they were hollow, sounding when you opened the doors. He'd open those doors. My mom would go in there with a mound of cans, boxes. It was all the stuff from stores that were dented. My mama crawled in there, and she'd come home with bags. A lot of the labels were gone. We didn't know what we were going to eat. She would just crack one open and whatever was in there, you ate. But that's, why did they do that? Because they had to be good stewards with what God had given them. And you know what? They did an amazing demonstration of that. And they taught me to use what God's given in the proper perspective, to use what God's given not as a way to get what you want, but an avenue with which to serve the risen King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Tonight, my question as we close, are you an unknown wise man? Are you that unknown nobody, that blessed nobody that is somebody, or tonight, whether you're watching online or in here, and you'd say, you know, money's not been in the proper perspective for me. I've not been faithful with it. When somebody sits down with me, a lot of times they get a little bit edgy because I'll talk about, they'll ask me, they're having money trouble or whatever, and I'll say, I just get a little Sonic drink every day when it's, I pull out my calculator. And I'm a long-term person. So I just say, you know that little drink? And I just calculate it up over the course of, at first, you know, a year. Then I do 5, then I do 10 and 20. And you know what happens? The more I start doing it, the more their jaw starts to go down when they realize that that little $3 to $5 a day that they spend on nothing, a bag of chips, how that over a lifetime. And you know what it's done for a number of people? It's made them stop doing it. It's made them start taking their drink from home, because what they've started to realize is those are ways that they can glorify the Lord, that they can minister to someone down the road, that if they continue on the path they're going, they'll never have that option and ability to be used by God in that way. Every one of us tonight, all of us, can reassess the way we're using the gifts, the treasures, the talents that God's given us, not only in the financial sense, but also in the ability to see things that God's given us and say, am I being faithful with what God, am I using the talents, the gifts, the blessings that you have entrusted me with for a short time wisely? God, if not, change that tonight. Lord, I don't want this mirage of wealth to be the thing that defines me. I don't want to worry about thinking that I need to impress somebody, and I don't know anybody in here that even does that. God may have put this message on my heart for somebody that's watching online tonight. I don't know. Maybe God is hitting you. Maybe it is you, and I don't even know about it. But I'll tell you what the great thing is tonight that you can do. You can get your life, and I can get my life, in the perfect place, the perfect perspective, the perfect everything that God has for us. Because you know what happens when we do that? We're able to leave here, and we're truly free. You're free. You know what it means when I say that? I don't say that you go home and just walk off on your house and let it be foreclosed on so that you're, no. I'm talking about when you leave here and there's something that doesn't need to be done, it's freeing when you deal with it and then walk away from it. Because why? Because freedom is found in obedience. And I don't care if you're 6 years old or 60 or 80 years old tonight, if you go, you know what, I've been unfaithful with everything and I'm just too late to turn the button. No, it's never too late, okay? The only thing you've got to do is decide, Lord, I haven't been faithful, but tonight I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm turning over my finances. I'm turning my house, my job, my family. Lord, I'm putting it in your dominion. God, I want to be a part of your kingdom work, and I don't care if it's 3 days from right now and I serve you with everything in me for 3 days and go to be with you. You know my heart and you know my intent. My purpose was to glorify and to honor you. Maybe God will give you 60 years and you're able to watch God bless you, and you're able to take that and use it in his kingdom and watch. Look, church, this whole entire ministry here is a result of your faithfulness. Do you realize that? Do you realize when that thing goes out online and the people up in our media booth and all those involved in that, do you realize that you are a part of this ministry and people seeing this all over the world? It tells me every week about the nations, the different nations and different countries that have downloaded the messages. Imagine if our church had said, you know what, that's not important. See, we know it is. But do you realize that your faithfulness is making that possible? Do you know that these new people that are here that have seen the Facebook thing online, if I wasn't here, that wouldn't have been happening. The people who are now here as a result of that, Church, it's a snowball thing where God uses and blesses our obedience. Without our obedience, what's our future? It's nothing. I know it's not personally, but it's also going to be nothing corporately. But tonight, we can all say, you know what? I'm going to be that blessed nobody. God, I want to be that person that you are so preeminent. You are so number one in my life that the world doesn't even see me. So that it's you that they see, not I. Jesus, you be lifted high. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.